You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
La Ponte with Sam Norris.
Hello and welcome along to the Punt podcast brought to you by William Hill. It's the Euros. We're looking ahead to the second batch of round of 16 games coming on Sunday. We've got three games to look at, including the host nation taking on the Republic of Ireland at 2 o'clock. Then at 5 p.m, we have got Germany taking on Slovakia. And the 8 p.m. game sees Belgium take on one of the surprise packages of the tournament so far in the shape of Hungary. We'll have previews throughout the podcast from Derek McGovern, from our resident Belgian expert Chris Mayer, and indeed from our resident German expert Stefan Bienkowski. So plenty to come on today's edition of the podcast. We've got a country file as well regarding Ireland. Interesting little tidbits as well. Bits of trivia for you throughout the podcast. A couple of interesting lines to come there. But we start off with one of those aforementioned trivia questions. We begin with this. Which country went undefeated, a record equaling 35 times between November 2006 and June 2009? We bring you the answer to that one towards the end of the podcast. Which country went undefeated for a record equaling 35 times between November 2006 and June 2009? We've got the answer to that to come in a little bit. First of all, we turn our attention to the 2 p.m. game, which is the host nation France taking on the Republic of Ireland. Here's the thoughts of Derek McGovern.
The Republic of Ireland pulled off what was maybe a minor shock against Italy in their last group game to qualify for the knockout stages. Italy did make a lot of changes in that match, but the Republic of Ireland played well, and Robbie Brady scored the goal late on to put them through. I didn't know what was happening, but I knew it was big, Derek, because Roy Keane smiled. That's how big it was.
It was wind, that was all it was. and no one thought he could do it, but a great performance in the last game. But they were helped, weren't they, by a second-string Italy side that, you know, didn't really try, to be honest. I thought the second stringers coming in might work against the Irish because they'd have players Italy who would want to impress, but it certainly didn't. They certainly didn't play that way. And it suggests to me that there's not much strength and depth in the Italian camp, and those players who did come in know pretty well that they're not going to be playing in the next game anyway, because that's certainly what it looked like. But you can't knock the Republic. They've qualified. From a difficult group as well, let's not forget. You know, Italy, Belgium and Sweden. But again, you know, one win or maybe and a draw, I suppose. 4 points from their three games. Almost as good as what England did. And it just brings back memories of, course, the playoff, doesn't it? Thierry Henry's infamous hand d'oeil, when the ref missed his handball, even though he had the ball in his mitt so long, the fans thought he was going to autograph it. It was absolutely ridiculous. And it brings back, did you see the documentary, Dave, the other night, the Hand of God goal, the Maradona's Hand of God goal?
I missed that, Derek.
It was absolutely magnificent. Everyone goes on about Maradona's second goal in that game, but I actually prefer his first goal. It was cheating in its most beautiful form, apart from Marilyn Monroe in Niagara. And I just love it. It should be, you know, it's typical of the English that we're moaning about it 30 years on. 30 years on, we're still moaning. And what we should be moaning about is that we've never had a player capable of such beautiful cheating. It was wonderful. And I've loved the guy ever since then. Which won't please many other English fans, but there we go. As for this game, well, France topped their group easily, 7 points from three games, without getting out of first gear, really. And what I find interesting, Dave, in this match, you've got two of the best players in the tournament so far, in Paul Pogba and Dimitri Payet. Now, I've got a suspicion that Didier Deschamps, the French manager, won't field them both, because it's a bit like the Steven Gerrard and Frank Lampard conundrum for England a few years ago. He's finding it hard to find a starting place for both players. I'm just wondering what your take is. I'm just wondering whether I'm shouting alone on this, but I can see one of them being left on the bench.
I'm not sure about that. I think that given that he left Pogba on the bench for the second match, that match against Albania when Payet scored that, he scored two late goals in the championship so far. I played them both in the opening match against Romania. I think they'll both come back into the lineup here because Pogba was decent enough against Switzerland, and obviously Payet didn't play in that match and came on late on and tried to get the 3 points for France. I get what you're saying, Derek, but I reckon they'll both start here because there'll be a lot of pressure from the media to start them both, and I don't think Deschamps can handle that. Even if he doesn't want them both to play, I think he'll make the choice to start both of them in this match. But I can see where you're coming from. I don't think Pogba's had an amazing championship so far.
Well, you know what? He got a lot of stick for that first game, and I thought he was head and shoulders the best player on the pitch.
Did you?
I thought he was sent, every time he got the ball, he did something. I couldn't believe the stick he got. I heard an awful lot about him going into this tournament. You know, Man United let him go, and then he was going to pay, you know, millions and millions to get him back. I'm thinking, I haven't seen enough of this guy to, you know, to make a concrete decision. But from what I've seen, he is a sensation. And if he does come to the Premier League next season, you know, whoever gets him, I might well back for the title just on that strength alone, because I think he's a sensational player. You know, 49 fans are to win this game in 90 minutes. France on home soil against a Republic of Ireland side that maybe have gone over the hill a little bit now. You know, they're not the youngest of teams. I think that's a fair price for France, you know, 4-9. I still think there's more gears to come from them.
Do you think they'll win comprehensively then, Derek?
Yeah, I do, actually. I do. I can't see Republic scoring, to be honest. I might, instead of backing France at 4-9, I'll be backing them, you know, to win without conceding, because I don't think there's enough threat in the Republic of Ireland forward line. I mean, it took an age to break down an Italian team, a second string Italian team that wasn't really interested. You know, and we've seen what France do in tournaments on home soil. They win. You know, they're not going to slip up here now. I'm not going to say it's going to be an absolute bag full of goals, but I can see France winning this by, you know, a couple of goals maybe. So even on the handicap mark, I wouldn't put anybody off that either. France minus a goal, which I think is 11-8.
Yeah, France to win to nil is available at 3-4, but France minus one is available on the handicap betting at 11-8. I wonder if you'd think Antoine Griezmann is going to start this game as well, Derek. He's going to go with his full strength side. 9-5, Griezmann to score anytime. Olivier Giroud, what have you made of him so far in the championship? Because he scores goals, doesn't he? It just takes him a while. A lot of chances.
Yeah, he, to be fair to me, not to Giroud, to be fair to me, I've been an anti-Giroud in the camp for a long time, and he's looked like, you know, when you get a school team, there's always a pudding in the school team. Well, he's the pudding. It just doesn't... he looks out of place to me. To be honest, though, Griezmann hasn't impressed me. I don't hear so much about him all during the Champions League exploits of Atletico Madrid, but he hasn't done much in this tournament. A couple of chances, good chances he's wasted. It's Pogba for me is the main man. I know Payet is getting, you know, all the praise, but I think Pogba's the key. I can see France winning this in a canter.
The bet that I like here, by the way, draw half-time, France full-time. 9 of France's last 10 goals at the Euros have been scored in the second half. I can see the Republic of Ireland keeping it quite tight early on and inviting that pressure, and eventually the dam breaking in the second half. So I'll go draw half-time, France full-time at 13-5 in that match. And Derek, your best bet, France minus one or France to win to nil?
Yeah, I'll go France to win to nil is still odds on, isn't it? I'm not a big fan of backing on John Pulch when they've got a win to nil. I'm going to go for the France minus one.
Yeah, Derek McGovern there on the game between France and the Republic of Ireland, 2 p.m. on Sunday afternoon. And now for a little bit more about the Republic of Ireland, here's Lee Phelps with another country file.
Welcome to Ireland, the only country in the world that has a musical instrument as its national symbol, the harp, of course. The Irish report the lowest annual number of UFO sightings in Europe. Cats outnumber dogs by 2-1 as Ireland's most popular pet. And Dublin boasts one pub for every 100 head of population. If you've been there, that won't surprise you. By now you'll know that I like a food fact, and here are some of Ireland's delicacies. Drisheen is a type of pudding made from cow's, pig's or sheep's blood. White pudding is a mixture of pork, cereal, bread, fat and suet. And periwinkles are sea snails boiled in salted water.
Well, now you know perhaps a little bit more about the Republic of Ireland. The 5 p.m. game then comes up in the shape of Germany versus Slovakia on Sunday evening. The Germans are yet to concede a goal thus far in the tournament. And I caught up with our resident German expert, Stefan Biankowski, to get his thoughts on this one. It's difficult, really, to be overly critical of Germany in terms of their performances in the group stages, or certainly their results. Three games, three clean sheets, and they took 7 points as well, Stefan. But I think we're all sort of expecting a little bit more from Germany now we enter into the knockout stage in terms of zest and speed of play and just venom in their play so far. They haven't looked quite the force that we've seen over the last couple of years that they did in those opening three group stages, for all that they've got the job done quite nicely.
Yeah, I mean, I think at the moment, things tend to be with Germany that they're just simply getting the job done. No thrills, no fireworks, but as you said, there's very little you can truly criticise them for. I think if you want to be a bit more optimistic, you could point out that as the games have gone on, they have looked far more comfortable with the shape and the tactics. And of course, against Northern Ireland, I think that was probably quite easily the best performance we've seen from Yogi Löw's team so far. So I think as the competition is going on, they do seem to be growing into their own skin. And that's, of course, nothing we haven't seen before from some of the biggest nations in Europe, and of course some of the teams that have gone on to win the competition.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the features, I suppose, that we saw throughout the group stages was teams setting out to sort of frustrate the bigger sides and the more fancier sides. We saw Northern Ireland do that to great effect against Germany, to only lose that game by a goal, and they had a lot of men behind the ball, just really tried to frustrate the Germans. Is that the kind of blueprint that Slovakia need to work on if they're to have any sort of chance in this last 16 game?
Yeah, I think so. I think Slovakia seem to be quite capable of moving their tactics around, but I think what we'll probably see is a 4-5-1 formation, quite similar to how they played against England, if I'm not mistaken. And that formation is actually much what Germany have been used to so far. Even Poland, who are probably one of the stronger teams in this competition, even going forward, were still very defensive against Germany. And I think Manuel Neuer actually made a point of saying that, and perhaps it was Thomas Müller actually saying that, you know, we might not look as dangerous going forward, but that's because we're playing these teams who are sitting back. And if he actually, and he made a good point that this current German team isn't really put together to break down minnows. It's put together to try and combat the likes of Italy or Spain or France in the latter stages of the competition. And even, but that said, I think this tie against Slovakia is very much going to be one like we saw in the group stages, where Slovakia will be sitting back and it will be a case of Germany trying to break them down.
Yeah, it's certainly an interesting point you make there about the way that this German side is set up. I suppose one of the great things they've got in their favour is they've got so much interchangeable personnel, certainly going forward. They can adapt and play many different systems, can't they, to try and attempt to overcome the lesser teams.
Yeah, and I think that's what we saw against Northern Ireland. Mario Gomez came in, and he's almost in his role in this German team is almost like some sort of specialist, whereby he can sit in the box, he can he can wrestle with central defenders and just cause all sorts of havoc. And that itself, him playing in the team, actually allowed the likes of Thomas Müller to revert back to his more kind of usual, I don't even know how to describe him, actually, just the way he managed to drift through the final third. So, you know, Löw has options. I mean, there are a number of options we haven't even seen yet. For example, Sané is one who could come in if Germany are looking for more width out wide. And of course, Bastian Schweinsteiger, who came on in the group stages to quite good effect, actually, the manner in which he came on in the first game against Ukraine and, you know, really just offered himself as an impact sub. So there are options in attack that can come on if things aren't working well.
Yeah, absolutely. One of their great strengths, I think, that is for Germany. In terms of this game, then, let's take a quick look at the betting. Germany are 4-9. The draw here is 3-1. Slovakia are 8-1. Just to qualify by any means, Germany 1-6. Slovakia in the betting in that particular market at 4-1. Just how do you see the game panning out, Stefan? Is this going to be a case of Slovakia trying to frustrate and try and create chances on the break?
Yeah, I mean, I think Slovakia will probably go into this game with the hope of keeping Germany at bay, but I wouldn't be too optimistic. I think I'm right in saying they've conceded 3 goals in 3 games at the group stages, which is fair enough if it helps you qualify, but when you're up against a team like Germany, it's just not a defensive record that offers much hope. As you said, I think they will inevitably still try to sit back and then break on the likes of Hamsik, but I think this probably might be one of the more comfortable games Germany will play so far. I think they came up against some real defensive specialists in the Northern Ireland and a much better team in Poland, and they managed to work their way past that. So, yeah, I think this is going to be a case of Germany scoring a few, actually, and also managing to keep a clean sheet as well.
Yeah, Germany to win the game at 2-0 is in the betting at 5-6. And as you say there, they're very much dependent on the likes of Hamsik going forward. And you think this German side can keep them out. Just how comfortable do you think that this game could be for Germany? Are we looking at an edgy 1 or 2-0, or do you think they'll really stretch their legs?
I mean, I think, as you said earlier in the podcast, Germany haven't been at their very best so far, but I think they are growing into the competition, and I really do expect to see them a really comfortable attacking display, actually. And I think I'm still not entirely sure who will start. I'm not entirely sure if Gomez will start or not. But I think regardless, I do think the Slovakia team are quite open at the back. So I think I would go for something perhaps as drastic, maybe 3-0 Germany, I think, in terms of just the sake of, I think they will do quite well. I think Jerome Boateng was actually a player who was rumoured to be out of this game with injury, but it looks as though he has passed a late fitness test, so he will play. So Germany will have their full back line in play. And that, despite everything, is a very strong central defensive pairing with him and Mats Hummels, perhaps one of the best in the competition. So I don't see Slovakia causing too many problems down the German end. And I do think this might be another game in which Germany continue to grow and look stronger in attack.
Okay, Germany 3-0 then, which Stefan touched on, is in the betting at 8-1, or you can take the Germans minus a goal at 11-8, and minus 2 is 15-4. In terms of personnel there, Stefan, as you said, it might be worth waiting for team news for Germany just to see exactly what kind of formation they're going to play. We've got Mario Gomez 5-4 anytime. Likewise, Thomas Muller, Mario Götze is 17-10. Is this a case of where you wait for the team news to come out and then goal scorers just try and back who is likely to be the focal point, be it Gomez, be it Muller, be it Götze, be it someone else?
Yeah, I think perhaps so. Especially, as I said earlier, depending on where Mario Gomez is playing. I think one thing that's probably worth noting is that Thomas Muller looked far better in the Northern Ireland game. He didn't score and he actually missed a few clangers, but just getting into those positions was far better than what we've seen in the first two games. So if he's looking better, I'd absolutely no qualms with putting him on an anytime goal scoring bet. Or one of the midfielders, Mesut Ozil, of course, also looked quite good. He looked far more interested in moving forward, and I think he might get quite a lot of space against Slovakia. So I think Mesut Ozil, anytime goal scorer, would probably be a good bet as well.
OK, lovely stuff. So in summation then, Stefan, it's a comfortable German win for you?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'll be quite confident with this one and say a comfortable win for Germany against Slovakia.
Stefan's thoughts then regarding the world champions Germany and their round of 16 clash against Slovakia. One final game to preview then on this edition of the podcast. This is the evening game now between Belgium and Hungary. And Chris Mayer was on hand to offer his thoughts on this one. It was a fairly stuttering start to the tournament for Belgium in their opening group game against Italy, Chris. But after that game, it's been 2 wins and 2 clean sheets. And is there now a renewed optimism you feel about Belgium, given the manner of those 2 defeats, particularly the Republic of Ireland one, where they really did put them to the sword and, again, looked comfortable for most of the game against Sweden?
Yeah, I'd say there is definitely renewed optimism around the side. The Italy game kind of knocks everybody back. Wilmot was criticised quite heavily for the performance, no tactics. Yeah, and as you say, the Ireland game was a much improved performance. Everybody seemed to have a lot more confidence. But at the same time, there wasn't really a kind of cohesive plan. I kind of think from the same with the Sweden game, it was just a case of the opposition wasn't much, you know, and Belgium capitalised on that. So, yeah, this game's going to be a tougher test, I feel, because Hungary have been a bit of a surprise package in the Euro so far.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure this is a question you get tired of hearing when you're covering Belgium, but are we once again talking about a team full of individuals here that sort of lack the cohesive nature of a team? And is that principally down to Wilmot so far? Does the blame fall at his feet that he doesn't seem to be able to find the right blend of all these talented players and get them playing together as a flowing unit?
I think that's exactly right. You say it exactly right here, because it's more a case of Wilmot's being kind of it's what he thinks is right, and he won't listen to kind of constructive criticism. He always seems to go with this same sort of formation, same sort of ideal of passing football, and just try and create all the chances and see where it goes from there. There's no real plan other than that, to be honest with you. So I feel like as the tournament's gone on, the attacking players like Lukaku, De Bruyne, Hazard have all improved, and there's kind of been a bit of cohesion there, which is good to see. And that's going to be what carries them through the tournament, if anything. And the defence as well has kind of not really been tested too much, but has been solid enough, and that's been enough to get as far as they have.
With regards to this last 16 game then against Hungary, as you quite rightly mentioned there, they've been one of, if not the surprise package of the tournament, picking up 5 points in their group games, a very good defeat of Austria on match day one, point against Iceland, and then that 3-3 draw against Portugal, which for a lot of people is one of the games of the tournament so far in terms of enjoyment and drama. I suppose one almost negative now for Hungary is they've lost that element of surprise, really, and they certainly won't be underestimated by Belgium in the manner that, they perhaps were in some of their earlier group games.
No, you're exactly right again, because Hungary, and not a lot of people went to Tom thinking Hungary had one of the worst squads around, like of the teams there, and they've really, really shown everybody up for it, to be honest with you. And the element of surprise is definitely lost now. Against Portugal, I think they showed exactly what they're about. They can counter when they need to, and they like a lot of the wing play as well. But also the defence is there for taking out as well. And I think Belgium on paper really shouldn't have any trouble here, but you never know.
Yeah, indeed. Let's put some betting on this game then. Hungary 11-2 to win the match in 90 minutes. It's 12-5 the draw, and Belgium are 4-6 in the betting. The to qualify market, which of course is by any means, you can win the game in 90 minutes, extra time, or indeed penalties. That's 7-2 about Hungary and 1-5 for Belgium. Historically, Belgium have had the upper hand when these sides meet. Five meetings in history, Belgium have come out on top four times. One game has been drawn. So Hungary never ever have registered a victory against Belgium. And you see with the betting there, quite favourably on the side of the Belgians. But the traders aren't putting an extra time and penalty scenario past this. The fact that it's 1-5, a very big jump there to qualify from the 4-6 in the match betting. Is there a chance here Hungary hold out for at least 90 minutes, if not 120?
It's possible. I think Belgium will make it hard for themselves. I've still yet to be really convinced by them in this tournament, and I think this is if they really want to lay down a marker in Euro 2016, this is the game to do it in. I could see Belgium taking the lead. Hungary taking the lead, and then Belgium coming back in the game. I think extra time is a possibility here. But you do kind of think of Hungary kind of used all what they've got. They've got quite a few older players, and whether they need to rotate or not, I don't know. But yeah, I could see it going to extra time, absolutely.
Okay, the game to go to penalties, by the way, if you are interested in that, it's 11-1 for Hungary to win on penalties, 11-1 Belgium to win on penalties to win in extra time, 20-1 Hungary, and 10-1 for Belgium. A common theme that we seem to have seen throughout this tournament, Chris, is sides, particularly in the group stages, where a lot of sides knew if you drew every game, you'd be pretty much assured of qualification. We've seen a lot of teams put 11 men behind the ball and really frustrate the more classier sides on paper. Mm-hmm. Is that the way you see this game panning out in terms of Hungary almost inviting Belgium on but being very, very difficult to break down, as we've seen quite a bit in this tournament?
It seems to work for them so far. Yeah. I mean, the Portugal game was a bit of a different one, which seemed to be, they knew they qualified, so for them it was kind of, they could have gone with whatever they had wanted to. I think it would suit them to do that, and it would frustrate Belgium as it did again in the Italy game in particular. So, yeah, absolutely, I think that's what they should do.
In terms of goal scorers, there's obviously a plethora of potential options on the Belgium side. Romelu Lukaku, 13-10 to get a goal. He's already up and running for this tournament. Kevin De Bruyne, 11-5. Eden Hazard, 12-5. Then we've got Batshuayi at 2-1. Benteke, 7-5. Origi, 9-5. You can almost take your pick from a clutch of players in terms of a Belgian persuasion. Who do you think will do the damage?
I've pretty much backed him throughout the entire tournament to do something, so I'm going to go with Lukaku again. I feel like he's probably the best outlet here. I think he scored 6 in his last 7 international games, so he's pretty much in form, I'd say.
Yeah, 13-10, Lukaku, 130 if you do fancy him first or last. On the Hungary side of things, of course, we saw Blažas Žižak get on the score sheet twice against Portugal, albeit they were both fairly fortuitous goals, both took a deflection. He's 4-1 any time. Would he be the man you'd be concentrating on a Hungary point of view?
Absolutely. I think he's been one of the players who's impressed me the most of their attacking options. I think he's definitely got something in his locker to get out Belgium from the flanks if he needed to. So, yeah, I'd agree with that.
Okay, and just before we wrap up then, Chris, give us sort of a correct score prediction for this game.
I think Hungary will take the lead, and then Belgium will come back, and I think Belgium will win 3-1.
Well, there you have it then, the previews of all three games to come on Sunday, 2 o'clock, 5 o'clock and 8 o'clock kickoffs. It's the second batch of the round of 16 fixtures for you there. Now, time for the answer to our earlier trivia question. We asked you, which country went undefeated, a record equaling 35 times between November 2006 and June 2009? The answer was, of course, Spain. And for some more interesting information about Spain, they're also the only country at this championships to not have any lyrics to their national anthem. So not only do they boast an incredible undefeated record of 35 games between November 2006 and June 2009, they're also the only country in this competition without any lyrics in their national anthem. Thank you very much for listening to the Euro podcast brought to you by William Hill. Do remember to check out all the markets online. We've got all to play for as well. Keep your eyes peeled on Will Hill Bet and indeed Will Hill In Play for further previews throughout the tournament. And best of luck with whatever you're backing for Sunday's round of games.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.